Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that's stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Hi there, this is Natalie, also known as StarsCast. I'm going to see if this call that I have on my switchboard is my lovely guest. Hold on. Dr. Patterson, is that you?
Yes, it's me. Hello, Natalie.
Hi, how are you? I saw your number come up, and I thought, anyways, we're live on the air, and I told them just, you know, well, you heard. I have to see if it's my guest, so how are you today?
Yep, it's me. I'm well. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm kind of fighting up, you know, well, you know, as a doctor, fighting a throat thing. Like, I woke up and I thought, I don't feel real good. I mean, I felt okay, but, you know, you get that feeling. So I've got my tea with my honey, and that's the best I can do until something happens, you know.
Something declares itself, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like I have to doctor myself, doctor.
Yeah, well, tea with honey is always good.
Always good. It's soothing for the throat. But anyways, let's get to you and not my slight little ailment that I have here. Anyways, I'm going to do a brief intro on my stars and on my magazine, of course, and everybody knows I'm StarsCast, known as Natalie, on the internet, and I've had StarsCast since the 90s when I worked for America Online. But anyways, I have a lovely guest, and we'll get to her in a moment, but I want to talk to everybody about my magazine. This is already the 19th. So I will be preparing shortly, in a few days, the next issue of Mystic Living Today. If you have anything to submit, it can be an article, it can be poetry, it can be an excerpt from your book. Sometimes people just like to write something, you know, and if it's good, I have yet to refuse anything. Just make sure you have an image with it and any credits that I can put at the bottom, because I'll be happy to do that for you. And you can send that to StarsCast, STARZ like in zebra, CAST like in Tom, at mysticlivingtoday.com. And once I do, I usually work on it about 3 days. So probably about the 27th of this month, next week I'll be starting on it. Depends upon how big it is. Sometimes it takes me 4 or 5 days, but it does go up on the 1st, and I'll send you a link, and you look at it and make sure that everything is good. Sometimes people write back and say, oh, nope, I don't like that paragraph. Can we change it? Well, it's easy to change. I do it, so it's easy. I don't have to tell somebody else to do it. So it's really, really, really simple. Some people get so upset. Oh, my God, I have to change something. Don't worry about that. And then I want to talk to you about my Stars Psychics, STARZ, psychics.com. We have, for first-time clients, 10 minutes for $10. And it seems, and I think many of you have noticed, there's a price war going on with a lot of the sites. I'm not a part of that. I stand firm with what I have, and it's just a little bit of info on what I am. I'm not going to get into the games that they're playing, and they are playing games. And so anyways, you can come to my site. I have beautiful readers. I'm an awesome in customer service. I do it all myself. If you have an issue, you just write to StarsCast at StarPsychics.com, and I will take care of it for you. And that's enough of that. Let's get on to my lovely guest. I have with me today Dr. Jan Patterson. She's an author and a physician, and I'm assuming she's been born and raised in the Texas land of the Texans. Is that right, Jan? And welcome.
That's right. I grew up in Fort Worth, Texas. That's right.
And you can almost hear her little accent. Not quite, though. It's not real heavy. Not real heavy at all.
Well, yeah, it's not real heavy. I've lived in some other parts of the country, Tennessee and Connecticut, and been back in Texas for a while now, but I do have a touch of it.
Just a touch. Well, I'm from Michigan, and I'm in South Carolina, and people will say, I get that Michigan accent, but I don't know. I mean, of course, it's not apparent to us when we're doing it. I have no clue. But anyways, I'm so happy to have you with us. And you know, it's unique to have somebody like yourself because health, not that we're going to answer health questions. I had a lady ask if you were going to do that, and she said, no, she didn't want to listen. I said, no, we're not doing health questions. She's not here to doctor you, you know.
Yeah.
We are here to talk about herself. We want to talk about her, and we want to talk about her book and how she got into this. So let's start at the very beginning for you. How did you get into the medical field? I mean, did you always want to be a doctor?
Well, not really. In high school, I decided that. But I started out, you know, I grew up in Fort Worth, but we lived on the edge of town. And my parents had been in farming and ranching before my dad took an urban job. And so we had goats, and I learned to milk goats, and my dad always had a big garden. And so I'd always been interested in kind of natural therapies. And I saw results of insufficient medical care in my family. Like my brother was developmentally disabled from birth complications, and I had a sister that died in a car accident, you know, in a small little town that didn't have trauma care. And I think
right, and
like
that, and that's a big thing in a small town. I mean, that is.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of everybody knows about it, right? If it's small enough,
yeah.
Yes. I can see how you were guided in that area, though.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, so I think that influenced me to want to be able to learn about medicine and be able to help people in that way. And initially, like in elementary school, I wanted to be a teacher, I think, just because I loved school so much. But then in high school, as I took biology, I really got interested in that. And so, you know, ending up in medical school setting, teaching and doing medicine, I got to do both. So that ended up as a good place for me.
The best of both worlds. When you know,
yes.
And you know, did you have encouragement from your family?
Yes, yes, they encouraged me. They, I think, were kind of surprised that I went into medicine. Nobody in my family was in medicine, but you know, they encouraged me to do what I wanted to do and to do one school, you know, which you had to do to get into medical school. And so, yeah, they encouraged me to, you know, pursue what I was most interested in. I think my mom in particular, you know, she thought a librarian would be a good job for a woman. But, you know, she was a mom in the 50s and 60s and things were different then. And then as I became a doctor and specialized, she really appreciated it and, you know, was very proud of what I had done.
Well, you know, when I was growing up, at first, I wanted to be a veterinarian, but I have maintained my love for animals, and I do take care of them. I mean, if you saw what I feed, I mean, you were talking about goats. Oh, I would be in my glory. I should have been on a farm, but I was in from Detroit, Michigan, and there were no farms there. But there wasn't anybody to encourage young girls to do things, and that
mm-hmm.
was sad. And when I think about it, that was really sad. And I'm really so glad that it's changed because, I mean, women can do anything, really.
Yes.
I mean, you didn't even, you got married and you had kids. That's all you did. I mean, that's what
mm-hmm.
your role was. So
mm-hmm.
How fortunate. Now, okay, so you became a doctor, and then what? Did you go into your own practice? Did you work at a hospital? I just want to get some background for people because that is your background, although you are also into holistic, which we want to talk about,
mm-hmm.
and
right.
you are an author.
Yeah, so I went to medical school in Houston, at UT Houston, and then I did my internal medicine training at Vanderbilt in Nashville, and then my husband and I got to know each other there, went up together to Yale to do our infectious disease training. And then we came back to Texas almost 30 years ago now to the medical school in San Antonio. And we've both done a combination of patient care, research, and teaching. And I've done some administrative positions. And, you know, so we've really enjoyed being able to do a lot of different things with medicine in our career. And then I had, I guess, what you might call a wake up call or a pivot moment. About 10 years ago, we lost our younger son, Will, to suicide, mental illness.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. And so it's, of course, that's an excruciating loss. And, you know, the grief was very difficult. And, you know, I found that a friend of mine had introduced me to essential oils, and I found that essential oils helped me a lot with my mood as well as other things. Yeah. As well as other things like, you know, my allergies and other things like that. But I was really impressed that they helped me with my mood. And so I wanted to study about that because, you know, I was interested in science. And so I learned more about essential oils and how they work and how they go to the limbic system in the brain, which is what controls our emotions and our motivations. And I got more interested in other holistic therapies because I thought, you know, if this works, there's other things that probably work too that we just don't know much about. And that led me to do training in integrative medicine at the University of Arizona, the Andrew Weil Center there. And by integrative medicine, what we mean is, you know, integrating holistic therapies with conventional medicine. You know, we're not against conventional medicine. We just want to use all the tools in the toolbox and integrate holistic therapies with those.
And two, you know, using other means rather than medicines, because medicines always have side effects of some sort, and sometimes you don't even know what those side effects are going to be. I mean, I'm allergic to weird things, and the doctor would say, well, where'd this come from? I said, but you know, I would tell him, and this was a long time ago, because remember, I wanted to be in medicine myself. I said, you have to understand, there's percentages. They do studies. If you're in this group and you have a reaction to this and this group doesn't have the reaction, who's to say you're not in either one of those groups? I said, you know, it's not written in stone here that you will be allergic to this, you will have this symptom. You know,
yeah.
So sometimes, and you probably saw this as you're doctoring, I like to call it doctoring, I think that's so cool, that you would find somebody would be allergic to something, and it was kind of strange because it didn't fit the textbooks. It didn't fit what, you know. Now, this is where holistic stuff can come in, like you said, the oils. And two, I'm not really a vegan. I mean, I love roasted chicken. I haven't had it in a while, though. But I love salmon and fish, greens. I had a nice big green salad last night with a wheat piece of bread. That was my dinner. I'm very small, though, and I don't require a lot of food. But I think people say, well, how come you look so good? How come you feel so good? Well, I'm thinking, really, Jan, that it's because of what I've consumed, not of what I haven't, you know, the things that I have avoided most of my life. And I didn't get it from my parents.
Yeah, I think you have a very important point there. Really, a couple of things that you said. First of all, as far as side effects from medicine, I mean, basically, I've learned anything can cause anything, you know, and the studies that they do and the side effects that they do, that they observe, you know, during studies, they're not going to observe all of the different side effects that can occur until it gets out into the population, you know, and millions of people take it. And I'm one of those people that's sensitive to medicines. My mother was the same way. I think I must have gotten it from her. But, you know, I'm very sensitive and, you know, I have side effects when I take a pharmaceutical. And I think that's another reason that I've gotten interested in holistic therapies. And the other thing about what you said, you know, I wrote my book around the four pillars of self-care that I found myself, that I kept talking about with patients and friends and family. And that is the breath work and movement and nutrition and spirituality. And so if you hit on nutrition, you know, our American diet, the standard American diet, we call it the SAD, you know, it's a lot of, inflammatory foods, fried foods, highly processed foods, a lot of refined sugar. And, you know, really, as you said, those things are not good for the body. And, you know, we've been learning that a plant-based diet, I mean, it's not that you don't have to stop eating meat, but just add more plants to your diet, you know? And, you know, you should have several servings of vegetables and fruits every day. And a lot of Americans don't have anything green, you know, the whole day unless it's something with green food coloring. So, you know, that's something that really hasn't been emphasized a lot in medicine. We don't learn a lot about nutrition in medical school, but it is one of the most important things about our health, and one of the most important things that we can do for ourselves is eat a healthy diet.
I'll have people that I'll be at lunch with, "You don't eat meat? Why not?" I said, "Well, I was really sick when I was 32, and I couldn't handle fats at that time." It's just a weird, someday I'd love to tell you about it, but I couldn't handle fats, so it would make me sick. So I thought to myself, okay, the doctor said, "Well, you should probably stay away from fatty foods, blah, blah, blah." Well, I started staying away from fatty foods. Even though I love the smell of a grilled, you know, a steak on the grill, ground round on, but I don't eat any of it, and I stopped then. That's a long time ago. And probably was very beneficial for me. Because look what's happened to what everybody's eating. I mean, doesn't mean I don't like fries from McDonald's, but I don't get them like once a week, once a month. I don't even know when I had fries at McDonald's. If I do fries, I put them in my air fryer. Mm-hmm. I have frozen ones, you know. And I love grilled salmon. I mean, I could probably eat that every day. But I, you know, like today, you're going to laugh. Maybe you won't laugh. I have my potato out ready to bake. And I love my steamed veggies with it. That's what I eat. There's no fish.
Great.
There's no meat. There's no chicken. And, you know, my son laughs at me. He says, "Mom, you don't eat very much." And I said, "Really, when I'm done, and it's so good. I love peas. I love cauliflower. I love broccoli steamed. I could eat a plate of that, and I have before." You know, and everybody says, "Your skin is so nice," and this, and I drink lots of water, lots, not from the tap, but bottled water, little ones, little pint-sized ones, and I must consume 8 of those a day. And
well, staying hydrated is very important too, and I would say probably many Americans are underhydrated. You know, we don't think a lot about drinking water. Many people don't drink enough water.
They drink sodas. I used to have drink something called ice. It came in it was just a water with some nutrients in it, but I would water it down. So I started thinking to myself, "Oh my God, what's the matter with you? What are you drinking it for at all? It's not anything. You put so much water in it, might as well just drink water." So I have not bought any of that, and I bet you about 2 months at all. You know, now once in a while people are going to say, "Oh God, she's weird." Now, I do love Verner's ginger ale because I'm from Detroit, and the Verner's plant was there. So if I have a tuna salad sandwich, okay, now on really good bread, I don't eat white bread either, and I don't eat white rice either. I will have my glass of Verner's, and I will have my tuna salad or egg salad, okay? And I will also have a handful of chips. So you see, it doesn't mean that she doesn't get any of that.
Yeah.
But I don't.
Well, and that's the thing. You don't have to.
I mean, you
stop
have
all
you
those
you
things.
Have to treat yourself.
Yeah.
You know, Jan,
yeah.
I think you cannot say, "Well, I'm not going to eat that ever. I'm not going to eat that ever." But what are you doing to yourself? I mean, what kind of a life is that for you? So if you follow me around, and my daughter-in-law's forever saying to me, "God, you eat like a bird," you know, and there for a while, my granddaughter would say, "Gee, Graham, you eat 5 leaves of lettuce." Well, I don't really eat just 5 leaves. That's just her joke. But you see, people are under the assumption that, well, you're small. I mean, I'm 100 pounds, and I'm 5'2", but I'm a small, very petite frame, very small. And I'd be like a walking blimp. But you know what I'm saying? And I think if you stop and think about nutrition, and I do want to talk about your book, because your book is really important, and it came out in, what, I think, November, correct?
Right. It came out in November.
Yes. And I've got your website up here. But I think it's important to have, and they say, "Oh, well-balanced." But what is really well-balanced? I don't eat white rice. You know why? Years ago, I had a friend that used to do talks, and she says, "It sticks to you. It's like paste. White rice, real thick paste." Now, I love wild rice. I love brown rice.
Yeah.
You know?
And both of those
I love that.
Are Right, and both of those are whole grains, you know, that have fiber with them, and and you know, those are part of the whole grain aspects of the diet, like the Mediterranean diet and the ancient
Oh, I love that.
Diet,
I mean, I could just eat that all the time.
Yeah, they both include whole grains like that.
And legumes and lentils, and there's so many things that are healthy for you. But people will say that to me, oh, you're not going to have any meat. Why don't you eat meat? I just don't, you know. I'm sorry, I just don't. But really, the reason was is because I got death. I mean, I almost died with what I got. I got some kind of a virus. They had no idea what it was. And another man got it. We think it was from a drinking glass in a restaurant. Because I'm almost certain it's out where I went. We went every Friday. And, you know, the doctor did all these tests, and they were pulling their hair out. And he said, where did you go? I wasn't in the hospital. And I told him, and he said, well, you know, there could be something so microscopic. And then, you know, Jan, they did not have this really hot water that they washed everything in.
Yeah.
They had hot water, but it was hand washed. It was not like it is today.
Mm-hmm.
So you can still go to restaurants, but if you get a plate, it should come out really warm. It should not come out cold. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you look at all these things, you'll see, well, I got deathly ill, and this other guy got deathly ill. It was some kind of a virus that attacked our liver. My liver was shot to a handbag.
Oh, no.
So,
well,
yeah,
I always like to look at the health department rating of a department, you know, of a restaurant.
Well, yeah,
you
and
know?
If you
so
can,
kind of
I mean, you'll see what's going
on.
The doors will open to the kitchen. If you can, I mean, just look around. Look, but this place was so great, and I always got the same thing every week. We knew that's where it was from, and maybe he went to the same place. I don't know, but I survived. I was really ill.
Yeah.
I couldn't even stand,
goodness.
And I got injections every day because I wouldn't go in the hospital. He would love me as a patient.
Yeah.
But
well, you know, sometimes the hospital is it's much better to be home when you can. We're doing hospital at home a lot more now. And,
right,
you know,
and then he said to me, I don't think you're going to want to do this. And I said, if it's going to the hospital, the answer is no. He said, okay, then you have to come in every day. And I had vitamin B12 and gamma globulin injections every single day. They didn't know what to do. They had to keep my immunities up, obviously. I wasn't supposed to go anywhere because I could have gotten some pneumonia or something, you know, some kind of a bug going outside, and it would have killed me. But I was lucky. I had two great doctors that really took care of me. I'm sure you're a great doctor. I'm looking at your picture, and I love your voice.
Oh,
you have
thank
that. You. Well, you have that kind of voice that it's soothing. And it's not like, you know, you probably go to, you could go to your husband if you're sick, but some doctors have a know-it-all attitude like, well, well, no, you're going to talk to me? No, the answer is no. So anyways, but.
Well, I've learned that, you know, there's always something that we can learn in medicine.
Of course.
We never know it all. And so I think it's one thing I've learned is that it's good to keep an open mind, you know,
it is.
And because we're always learning in medicine and always need to consider different possibilities. And, you know, another thing that you were talking about with the food, one thing that we say, that we like to say in our book and when we're talking to people about food is to eat the rainbow. And so, you know, that's all the different kinds of plants that are different colors, you know, blueberries, strawberries, dark leafy greens, you know, squash. If you think about it, there are all the different colors in the rainbow. And so we tell people, you know, eat the rainbow. And that kind of emphasizes the fact, you know, that to eat more plants and fruits.
That's true. And, you know, there are things out there, I mean, that you can, for me, having a really nice salad with the right stuff, and a piece of grilled salmon on the top is just perfect for me.
Yeah, that's very healthy.
Let's talk about your book.
Okay.
Your book. I want to know all about your book. Okay. What made you decide to write a book? Because you're going off into the, not off, but doing more, the more holistic approach. You talked about the four pillars. Okay.
Right. And, you know, so when I did the Integrative Medicine Fellowship, I learned about these simple yet effective things that people can do for themselves, you know, things like breath work. Breath work can be very important in handling our stress, handling our anxiety. You know, there's a number of different things we can do. You know, when we're stressed, we take shallow, rapid, irregular breaths, usually with just using our chest only. And if we can make ourselves, you know, our breath is automatic, but it's also intentional. So if we can use intentional breathing and
yes.
take deep, slow, regular breaths, that tells our body, you know, it's okay to relax. So we can go from a stress response to a relaxation response, you know, just using our breath, something very simple. And so we talk a lot about breath work in there. We talk about some different breath exercises that people can do and just the important role of breathing. You know, we don't think much about it, but breathing is very important. And then also movement, you know, we don't call it exercise because, you know, that turns a lot of people off. But the thing
yeah.
of it is, you know, we live to move, we move to live. And even if you just take a walk, you know, doing something simple like taking a walk or being out in nature and taking a meditative slow walk through nature, those things are very beneficial to us. And whether you like vigorous exercise, I mean, I like to jog, I like to cycle on my Peloton, but, you know, not everybody likes that. Even if you just walk, you know, walk your dog or work in the garden, those things are good for you too and can be very healthy. And, you know, we're learning more and more about how movement helps us decrease our stress and decrease our stress and anxiety, and even depression sometimes can respond to movement like that.
That's true. And I know some people will be listening and they'll think, well, what about, you know, you can hyperventilate because you get, you're under stress and you start thinking, oh my God, this is not good. What am I going to do? I mean, you make this frenzy going on in your life. Like, it happened to me. It's happened to me a couple of times. But I figured it out. It was a stressor. I had a stressor going. You know, a stressor can be a person. It can be a thing. It can be anything
mm-hmm.
that's your stressor
mm-hmm.
that's going to wind you up. Okay, well, mine was a person, and I ended up going to my cardiologist because I have mitral valve prolapse with regurgitation, and I see him once a year,
mm-hmm.
make sure everything is all cool and have the carotid done and all
mm-hmm.
that. But I went to him, and he looked at me, and he said, first of all, there's nothing wrong with your blood pressure. He said, there's nothing wrong. He looked at my ankles, and he looked at me, and he said, what's the stressor?
Mm-hmm.
And I knew right away. I mean, I think I knew when I was walking in. I mean, he's just so nice. And I said, because
mm-hmm.
I trust him, and he's known me for like 19 years. And I said, I know what it is. I know who it is. He said, well,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're going to stop doing this, he said, because it's like an anticipation, you know. Somebody's going to send you this note, and it's going to be, nah, 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 you know, almost like squealing on somebody. And he said, you have to stop that. Just stop it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how to do it. He said, I know you do. And I said, yeah. So that week, within a week, I would say, not even that week, within that, maybe a week or so, I stopped it totally. And I've been feeling great.
Mm-hmm.
No more hyperventilating. So you see, breathing is important. Now,
mm-hmm.
had I have had some techniques, I probably wouldn't have experienced that. And if you've never had that, that's very scary. You think you can't breathe, but you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can breathe.
Yeah, and so our breathing, it can reflect our stress, our anxiety,
yep.
and then most of the time we can intentionally control our breathing. There's, you know, there's times we can't when, you know, people have severe asthma or severe kind of panic, but most of the time we can intentionally intervene and control our breath, and then controlling our breath has a lot to do with controlling our stress, you know, decreasing our stress and relaxing.
Yeah, you know, and you have to find out, I think, too, how you can relax. What makes you go into that other, I call it a level. It's actually a level of spirituality. How you can go
mm-hmm.
into that level and not be so, make yourself calm. because you'll mm-hmm. know exactly what to do. You really do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not unusual. It's not like, oh my God, she does something better than I do. No, that's not it at all. You have to really think about it. What really helps me sometimes is animals. You have
yes.
sometimes it's reading a book. You know that. Sometimes it's walking. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's standing outside, looking out at the world, where you are and how beautiful it is. And
oh yeah, being in nature. Yes, being in nature can be very calming and restorative. And you know, I think there's things, and this gets into the spirituality. You know, we talk about both science and spirituality in this book. I have a co-author, Phyllis Clark Nichols, that writes. I give the scientific and evidence backgrounds for these techniques, like the breath work and movement and nutrition and spirituality. And then my co-author, Phyllis Nichols, writes a spiritual response to each of these. And a big part of the spiritual response is mindfulness, you know, and just being present on purpose in the moment without judgment, you know, just being present. And,
sometimes
you know, ways
that's tough.
That
so don't you think that's tough?
It is.
For,
oh,
I bet it is for you. Sometimes
it
we
is.
Get, I have to stop myself. Stop being so judgmental. Don't worry about. You can't, I always say, if you can't change it, you can't fix it, don't worry about it. You can't do anything about
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really
yeah.
tough. It's tough.
It is.
But practice
and
makes
I,
perfection.
Well, that's right. And, you know, just sometimes just, you know, being calm, sitting in a quiet place, focusing on our breath, you know, the rhythm of our breath, and
right.
focusing on taking deep, slow breaths, focusing on your senses, you know, what are you hearing? What do you see? What do you feel? You know, thinking about your sensations. And then, you know, strengthening that mind-body connection, you know, connection with what you're feeling in your mind and, you know, relaxing your body. And we talk about meditation in the book, which is a part of mindfulness. And, you know, I think people have a mistaken perception about meditation, you know, thinking that you have to clear your mind of all your thoughts. And that's really not the case. I mean, if you focus on, if you're meditating, you can observe your thoughts. Even if you have these racing thoughts, you're observing your thoughts. And that's different than just having racing thoughts. So, and then over time, you know, you're able to you know, decrease the thoughts racing through your mind. But it's, you don't have to clear your mind absolutely of all thoughts to just be able to meditate and be mindful.
I usually do mine in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
After I feed my cat, he's a big cat, and he's like the boss. I mean, he's a Maine Coon, and when he wants my attention, he makes sure I give him his attention. So I take care of him in the morning. I feed him, and then I sit down. And my meditation is usually talking to God. It doesn't matter what you believe in, and I talk to Jesus as well. That's my form of meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, and people have heard me say this before, sometimes I give a dissertation like, what in the world do you call what just happened? I will do that, you know, and I probably shouldn't, but I do it anyways because it's my belief. I'm a little Catholic girl, although I got out of that, and I'm still a Catholic, but I just, you know, and it doesn't matter what church you went to. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
I always
mm-hmm.
feel what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong, and you should know. And that's how you should live your life. But I do question some things that happen, and I know there's always a purpose. There's always a reason, I know. And, you know, it's just we have to walk. We have to walk through life. And these are such important things. And, see, what I really like about you is that you're so well-rounded. You're not this traditional MD, osteopath, like my doctor likes to call himself an internist, although sometimes I think I know more than him. I shouldn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad. But he's, you know, I don't think you would do this. I mean, he's a general practitioner, and he'll say, well, I hear a sound in your carotid. I said, well, I'll go see my cardiologist. So I went to see
mm-hmm.
my cardiologist, and he called it something. It's got almost like a leftover something. He said, don't worry about that. He says, that's nothing. And if I told my GP that, oh, well, there's something going on.
Mm-hmm.
So So, and I just always, my comeback is I'll go talk to Dr. Lawton. I value his opinion. And then I'll sit there and I'll look at him and I'll say, and you don't know a thing about it. So,
well,
I'm a good patient, but I can be a bad patient because I will question things.
Well, I think it is good to question.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But you see, you're so well-rounded and you listen. I know you listen. And your husband is a doctor also, correct?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, he's also an infectious diseases doctor. We both specialize in infectious diseases. And then I trained in integrative medicine a few years ago, so I do that as well. But yeah,
well,
I mean,
it's the same thing. You know, I mean, you have your areas of expertise. But sometimes when you are a GP, you think that you know a little bit about, like if I had something going on, and I did go to somebody that handled, when I was really sick, I went to somebody who was a blood specialist that my husband played hockey with, believe it or not, and at the same hospital, and talked to him. And I believe in going to the proper doctor. I believe in that. And sometimes I just get real irritated with this man because he knows a little bit about everything, but he's certainly not an expert. I mean, but
it's good that he can refer you, though, if he thinks there's a problem. I mean, I think you'd rather have him do that than not. And then, you know, somebody else, the specialist tells you, well, that's not a problem. But at least, you know, you have it looked into if it could have been a problem.
Yeah, and I do everything. You know, I go he likes to see me every 6 to 8 months. And, you know, you have the labs done. And I go to my cardiologist, and I'll see him in August again. And I have my mammogram. I have everything done. Everything is done, and I have since I was, in my early 40s, I think. And so, I mean, you must do these things. You must do these things because you stand a better chance if you say, if you catch something really quick, okay, I don't like this little spot here. I don't like this here. You stand a better chance in letting it go for years.
Oh, yeah. And so I was lucky with my, I had cancer. I was diagnosed just a few weeks after my son died. And, you know, I was lucky that it was diagnosed very early, uterine cancer. And so, you know, surgery and then a couple of years of hormone therapy, you know, cured it for me. It's 11 years out now and I'm cancer free. So I'm very grateful for that. And you're right. I mean, early detection is great and it's the best way.
It really, really is. It really, really is. Now, I have some questions that I have written down here for you. Here's one. We talked about movement, breath, nutrition. Can we really recognize more than our physical needs?
Oh, absolutely. You know, our physical health is so dependent on our mental health and I think our spiritual health. You know, there's actually evidence now that spirituality helps us. That people who think in spiritual terms, and for some people that's faith, for other people it may be, you know, nature or just a higher being, but that interconnectedness, you know, that we're all interconnected and that there is a higher being. Thinking like that, you know, people have looked at functional MRI scans of the brain and have shown that those people have more active brains. And they're also more resilient, less likely to relapse with depression. There's actual evidence, you know, that shows these things now. You know, our spirituality and our mental health can have so much bearing on our physical health. I really do believe that.
Yeah, sometimes the way you think, I mean, sometimes people, and you've seen people that are just so negative, but we also have to try to understand why. Maybe something happened in their lives and they just haven't got through it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So they have... So, you know, I'm like that. I don't jump to things with people. I don't kind of say, well, that person's awful mean, but maybe that person had something happen to them. So I just always say, be nice, be kind, be nice, smile. Can I help you? I do that all the time because that's what I do, you know. I don't know. I mean, Go ahead. No.
We never know what somebody else is carrying. So I think like you say, as much as we can to be positive and to be kind with people and to be empathetic, you know, to what they may be going through. We may have no idea what they're going through. And
right.
even if we do know what they've gone through, if we haven't gone through it, we can't assume that we know how they feel, you know. So, I mean, I found that with losing a child. You know, I really think that, you know, people that haven't lost a child don't really understand.
No.
Oh,
no. I have only one son, and I can only imagine. You have other children?
Yes, I have another son, yes. Mm-hmm.
I can't even imagine. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I only have one son, and I mean, he's everything to me. My husband died of Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
I took care of him. Oh, I have a horror story with that. But I took care of him, and my son, he's just there for me. I mean, he's busy. He's got a limo service, and he's got a tiling company. I mean, he's really busy, but he always makes time to call, stop by if he can. I'm very blessed with him.
Yeah, that is a
really,
blessing.
Really am.
Mm-hmm.
But
I
honor you for really, because that had to have been the most. I mean, you probably just wanted to die. It's not.
Well, you know, it is interesting that you say that, because, you know, after he died, you know, I wasn't suicidal, but I just had this feeling, you know, I don't want to get out of bed in the morning. You know, it's just too hard to go on. And there were a couple of things that helped me get out of that. And one, interestingly, was being diagnosed with cancer. You know, when I had that diagnosis, you know, and when it hit me, I thought, you know, I really do want to live. You know,
right.
I want to live.
There you go.
Because,
and that's something else that you could focus on rather than grieving.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of pushed you into something else. Yes.
It really made me change my frame of mind and realize, you know, that I did have a lot to live for. You know, my husband and my son who was living and my daughter-in-law. And meaningful work, that was the other thing that helped me, because that gave me a reason to get out of bed in the morning. You know, I think meaningful work is such a blessing. And, of course, there are all kinds of meaningful jobs or service, whether it's, you know, employment or whether it's volunteer work. You know, if we're doing something meaningful that helps other people, that is such a blessing. And that really, you know, helped me get out of bed in the morning, those two things.
Well, it's true. It's true. I think about, you know, I have a radio show. I have two sites, of course, a magazine and the other one, you know, and sometimes it stresses me, and my son will say to me, why don't you just close it all? And I said, well, let's stop and think about it. What would I do?
I said,
it would be the end of me, because I would have no purpose. I would have nothing.
Yeah.
I would sit around and do nothing. He teases me. He says, well, you could watch TV all day. And I said, oh, no, that's not my thing. I like movies, but it's not my thing to watch the news and everything. No, I have to do. And I'm of the mind that a busy mind is a healthy mind.
Yes.
A busy mind is a healthy body also. If you can stay busy, you don't focus on all these little kinds of things. And, oh, gosh, I don't know what I would do. I mean, I love doing my radio shows. I've been doing them for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to do them twice a week. Now I just do them once a week. And I'm already booked like 6 weeks ahead. But I just, I really love doing it. I love meeting people from all walks of life, like yourself. And it doesn't matter, you know, what education I didn't have or what you had. It doesn't matter. We're still people. I can still carry on a conversation.
Still learn from each other. Right.
Yeah.
We can learn from each other. And, you know, another thing that I learned very clearly after my son died is that the spirit does live on after death. You know, I was I was raised in a religious Christian home, and so I had the concept of a spiritual life after physical death. But, you know, when I trained in science, even though I thought in spiritual terms, I had thoughts about what happened after death. But, you know, after Will's death, there were some definite times that I have sensed his presence, you know, either by touch or sound or visual signs or just intuition. And so that was kind of a revelation to me to really feel it. at that level, that it was so mm-hmm. clear. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing as well, because I really feel like I will see my son in another form sometime. And that gives me hope. So that
yeah,
is a blessing.
But it's really tough. I mean, you had your work, you had your husband, you had your other son, but it's still tough. It doesn't matter. It's just, I can't imagine. I really can't. I know what it would do to me because of my age and just because I don't have a husband, I don't have a significant other, I don't have anybody. And there are days now, and I talked to my cardiologist about this, there are days when I really get upset that I am alone. And
yeah.
But, you know, right after my husband passed away, it'll be 10 years on Friday, as a matter of fact. But after that, somebody said, oh, you should go on dating sites. No, that's not my style. No. I'm not a 30-year-old, you know, or even 40 or even 50. So I just knew right away that was not my thing. And my one friend said to me, well, how are you going to meet anybody? I said, you know what? I'm of the mind, if God wants somebody to be presented to me, he's going to set me up to put me in the right place at that right moment in time. That's how I feel. I don't have to seek anything because I know what I am. I know what I'm about. I don't do that. You know, so I'm still alone. And sometimes I'll talk to God and I'll say, well, I guess you just have decided maybe there's nobody good enough. I don't know. And that could be true.
Well,
or how about if you think you like somebody and they turn out that they're not really a nice person? And I like to think that the higher-ups sit down and say, nah, this would not be good. No, we can't. I really believe that. And so, you know, so I'll talk to my cat and I'll say, well, Mushy, it's just me and you. That's his name, Mushy. It's just me and
you. Well,
you
know,
go ahead.
You have so much connection to other people, you know, through your ministries, through your radio show, through your
my
website.
My magazine.
So you really,
yes.
Yeah. And so you connect with so many people, you know, and touch so many other people's lives. And so in that sense, you know, you're not alone. You have a lot of connectivity.
Yeah, really. You know, I have people from all over the world that I've talked to. And sometimes, like, and most people that write for the magazine continue every month. It's kind of like I hook them, you know. And I hear, you know, I say, okay, now I know you have something more. Give me another excerpt out of your book or something, you know. And I had a gentleman, he's a professor. He wrote to me and he said, I was thinking about you. You're probably working too hard. I want to make sure that you're okay. He's been writing for my magazine for 10 years.
Yeah.
Super intelligent, you know, and he's been on my show twice. And, yeah, you're right. I think if we find something that we really love that doesn't take the effort, that you don't stress about, I don't ever stress about it. That it's a good thing. That means I'm nurturing myself. I'm nurturing you. I'm nurturing everybody that's listening. I'm just nurturing people. I have a listener. I don't know if this person, I have to let them know that you are not taking medical stuff here, but if they would like to ask you about the four pillars and thing, let me see. Hold on a minute.
Okay.
Hi, this is Natalie. Do you have a question for Dr. Patterson?
Well, I just tuned in. What are these four pillars? What are you talking about today?
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to have her go over the four pillars again. We're talking about, you know, even though she's a doctor, I mean, there's medical, there's other things, there's spirituality, and I'm going to let her talk about it. That's really good. But so you want to know, what are the four pillars, right?
Yeah. So so I did my integrative medicine training where we learn about evidence-based holistic therapies that we can integrate with conventional medicine. And there were four things, four areas that struck me as things that were simple and effective that I could easily tell patients and family and friends about that could be very helpful. And one is breath work, how we breathe. You know, and learning to take slow, deep, regular breaths. And also there's some breathing exercises in the book, you know, for when we are stressed or anxious to help us calm down. And really our breath can be one of the most effective things, most simple yet effective things for controlling stress and anxiety. And then movement. There's so much evidence now that movement helps us with our mental health as well as our physical health. And nutrition, you know, there's a lot of evidence now that people who eat more of a plant-based diet, anti-inflammatory or Mediterranean diet, actually have better mental health than those who eat more of what we call the standard American diet, the SAD, with a lot of inflammatory foods. And then spirituality. Spirituality is the fourth pillar, and that is, reflects connectedness with others and with the higher being. And as I was just telling Natalie, there's actually evidence now that people who think in spiritual terms actually have a more activated, awakened brain and more resilience for mental health issues. So those are the four pillars.
Great explanation. And, for me, I don't eat totally plant-based. Well, I eat a lot, though. But people have to understand, and sometimes you have to acquire a taste for some of these things. I mean, like somebody will say, oh, you like salmon? Oh, you like steamed veggies? Oh, my God, they're so good. They really are. I could, like we've just talked about, I could have a plate of those and be happy.
Yeah.
I know it sounds strange, but I don't need, and I don't eat white bread. I only eat wheat or a grain. Now I have a grain that I've been eating, not even wheat anymore. I threw that up to the side. I have a grain. It's got all kinds of grains in it.
Mm-hmm,
and it's a dark bread, but it's a grain. And there's a lot of good stuff. But, the bad thing about this, though, is that sometimes it costs extra money. And so we've got to think about that for people to purchase this. And that's tough right now. Everybody, they thought COVID time was bad. It was. But now everything is so much more money. That's tough.
It is, and it's true that like fresh produce, fresh fruits and vegetables are more expensive than some of the processed foods in the store. But you can also get frozen fruits and vegetables, and those are healthy
as well.
That's what I get. And
I get a dollar
a
bag frozen peas, and I have bags of them.
And you can even get those at the dollar store.
you can get those, and you can get broccoli, you can get cauliflower, you can get mixed veggies, you can get corn. There's so much. That's what I do. That's where I get it. I don't get peas, fresh that they were picked. I don't get peas like that. I don't do that at all, or beans or anything. No. And, green beans are really good for you, too. Steamed green beans, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I'm getting hungry.
Yeah. So there are ways, to get around that kind of expense with fresh produce. And frozen foods is one. And even canned foods, if you get ones that don't have a lot of salt and preservatives, processed things, those can be healthy, too. So.
Yeah, that's true. You could just – and more products like that are coming out. But the only thing is that I worry about the cost. I mean, I have, I still eat the way I always do, but it's only just me. If you have a family, it makes it kind of tough. So if I had a family, I would introduce at least one of the meals, something that would be really healthy. I know we tend to eat, a lot of people tend to eat fast food because they're working, they're in a hurry, blah, blah, blah. Well, you really have to change, and you have to make a concentrated effort at it. I was forced but it's okay. I mean, I love what I even told my doctor about it, what I eat, and he looked at me and kind of shook his head. He said, you don't eat meat at all. And he said the same thing to me. And I said, no, I don't. I don't have to.
Yeah. Well, and you don't have to totally give up meat. And actually, another thing about the book is that we have some recipes in the book. Some of those are all plants. Some of them also have chicken or fish. And then there's also, you were talking about, thyme. There's a very simple recipe for chia pudding And that's something that you can grab on the way out to the door to eat for breakfast, or if you want to have it for dessert. And it's simply just, you know, putting some chia seeds. Chia seeds are a very good source of omega-3s, which are healthy for us, and they have good fiber. And just mixing some of those with some non-dairy milk and then letting that set in the refrigerator overnight, and in the morning it's like a pudding. And that's something you can grab out of the refrigerator that's very easy. And so, you know, it's fast.
Well, and you know, there's a lot of yogurts out there that are really good. I'm not talking the kind with the fruit on the bottom. I mean, really good, that you can put seeds and stuff in, grains. You can put stuff in all that. You know,
sure.
I don't do it because, like, for me, I have to be careful that things just go to waste because it's just me. But for those out there that have, you know, more than two of you or even two of you, there's a lot of good things. Sometimes, though, you know, I have to watch because I'll get into this mode that I've got a salt kick and I'll grab a handful of something. I stop. I have such great discipline. I'll look at that and I'll say, okay, you can have this today, but the next week you're not going to have this. This is not good. You can treat yourself, yes, but, I mean, the whole thing is you are what you eat.
Yeah, you know? That's true. That is
you
very
are.
True.
I mean, you know, if you're going to eat all this garbage, what is your body's going to turn into what? It's not going to have a healthy organ.
And really,
I love your book, and your book is called The Breath for Soul, for the
it's
soul,
called
I should
breath,
say.
Yes, Breath for the Soul, Self-Care Steps to Wellness.
Right, and it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. You can get it on Amazon or BN.com, or you can order it from your local bookstore. And you can learn more about me and the book on my website, drjanpatterson.com.
Yes, yes, that is your website, and I always want to say that to everybody at the end because sometimes I'll say it too soon and they'll forget, and I'll say, well, what was that website, you know? But it is in the bio that I have for you on the show page, so it's there also. But I have enjoyed talking to you so much, and I was thinking about, oh, gosh, when am I going to talk to her? I do say that to myself. What are you going to talk to her about? Well, my goodness, it's an hour.
We had a lot to talk about. It was great to talk to you, Natalie.
Oh, great to talk to you. I'm so happy we got connected. And I may ask you for something from Breath for the Soul for the easing, because then I can put the a link to our show in there. But
okay.
I have your address, your email address, so I can always do that. But anyways, yes, it's just great. And thank you for the listener that asked a question. I love that too. And, you know, you're going to love this. Most people do. When I end the show, this is what I always say. Believe in things you cannot see. They really are there.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the truth.
That is the truth.
Yes. So I'll see everybody next week. My show will be on Thursday instead of Wednesday, if I'm looking ahead right. I will look here. Yes, on Wednesday the 4th, 1 to 2. So we'll see everybody then. Thank you again, Jan. It's been wonderful talking to you. Just wonderful.
Thank you. Great to talk to you, Natalie. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. Okay, everybody,
bye-bye.
That's it for me. I'm off. And, you know, in the beginning of the show, I was telling Jan about my throat was kind of acting weird, but I got my honey and my tea, and I'm fine. Just like that. Gone. Well, hopefully anyways, right? So, everybody have a great day. Thank you for listening, and I'm going to be promoting this after. And I'll see everybody next week. Bye-bye.